Tracy comes, and then Tracy, you come and preach what God's laid on your heart. Here we are this Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's good again to be thankful. And this here talks about unity. I've always liked this. Psalms 133, let's read it together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew of the descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Brother Tracy, you come preach what God laid on your heart.
My throat was a little dry just now. I didn't want to get up here and start coughing, hacking, like I normally do. There was a guy at work that had a problem with anger. And I thought to myself, man, I wish I had one of those promise books. And I give him one. Then we went to the pastor's fellowship, and the theme was standing on the promises of God. And the next day, pastor came by and dropped a promise book off. And I gave it to him. And he read it, and he said, man, that's got a lot of good stuff in it. And I said, yeah, it's only scripture. it's all good. And he said, you know what I mean. It's really good. And he said, thank you very much for it. I didn't pray for a book. I just thought in my head, man, I wish I had, because I gave them out to all my guys. It was good that, you know, if you're dealing with anger, it had scripture about anger, and you memorize that scripture, and when you're starting to get mad, you recite those scriptures. And I told him, I said, yeah, if you'll think about it, you know, if Eve knew exactly what God said, she might not have ate that apple. Because, see, the devil kind of gave her a little bit of scripture, but screwed it around. And she didn't know the difference. Or if she did, she went with the devil anyway. Jesus was being tempted of the devil, and he quoted scripture. And Satan left him alone. I wonder if we would quote scripture more often, how our lives would be. If we're going through something, we would quote scripture. But I got to thinking about standing on the promises of God, and I thought of a story in the Bible. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, when I was reading the Bible for the first time after getting saved, and I come upon all the talks of all these kings that were bad, it was very sad. And I was going, God, why wasn't there a good king? Why wasn't people doing right? And then I looked around. Now I understood. But I also said, well, why don't you just take them out? And then I got to thinking, man, I was 40 years before I come to Christ. Why didn't he take me out? So I thank God for his mercy. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 34, this is Solomon, and he's fixing to dedicate the temple. And he said, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives and prayed toward their land, which thou gavest to their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, that's a pretty good prayer. And in chapter 7, verse 12, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Excuse me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for all your promises. And Lord, I thank you that we could be a child of the King. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, give me the word you want me to speak. And pray that the Holy Spirit have free reign, free unction, and Satan I rebuke you. I command your imps and demons to flee in out of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought of a story before I thought of this. Because, see, we're supposed to be standing on the promises of God. In the Word of God, God says that there's one thing that He cannot do, and that's lie. If He says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. If He says that I'll hold you up, that you won't stumble and fall, wait a minute. Does He say that? I think it says the just man shall fall seven times, yea, but rises up. So, you know, Peter fell a little bit. He kind of stumbled. But there's all kinds of promises in God, and it says that He cannot lie. Turn to 2 Chronicles 14. You know, I was telling you a while ago that I was reading the Bible through for the first time, and I got to all these kings that were doing bad, and finally I got to one king that was doing good, and I said to myself, all right, God, this chapter is going to be good. Because finally, we're going to have a king that's going to do what you want him to do. And Asa, it says in chapter 2 of Chronicles 14, it says, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the altars of strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Now, Asa did some great things, and then he died. He also did some bad things at the end. But then he had a son named Jehoshaphat. In verse 6, I'm going to read these four verses, and I want you to think about revival. Because above 6, it says revival under Jehoshaphat. Alright, chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, verse 6, talking about Jehoshaphat. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebaniah, Ashabel, and Shiramoth, and Jehoanathan, and Adonijah, Tobijah, Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Joram, priest. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. How in the world did they have revival? They heard from the Word of God. Let's roll off. You say, if you want revival, you could have revival. All you need to do is pray and read the Word of God. And you'll have revival. Then something happened in Jehoshaphat's life. He did great revivals in the land. His power grew. And then all of a sudden, in chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, there they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is in Gedi. Whoa. I should have done a little bit more reading. Sorry about my pronunciation. We don't have words like that in Texas. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast to all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, there's places in the Bible where they didn't seek the Lord and they ran over to Egypt to try to get some help. You see, Jehoshaphat was prepared for this because he had taught the people, he'd sent the priests and the Levites to go out and teach the people God's law. And so they was kind of prepared. They was all seeking God to help them. They wasn't seeking the world to help them. They wasn't looking for the world to help them. They ran to God. In verse 7 it says, this is Jehoshaphat's prayer. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Where do you get that? Where do you get that in verse 9? Isn't that what God told Solomon? Verse 9 says, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. What house? God's house. The temple. And in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say now how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He humbled himself, it sounds like to me. He humbled himself. He asked God for help. He said, hey, you promised Solomon that if we come before you in the presence of you in your house and call upon you, you will help us. You promised Solomon that. And that's what we're doing here today. We're calling on Solomon. I mean, we're calling on you because you promised Solomon. And guess what God did? He heard that prayer. But I want to tell you something. Right before, I skipped this, but you know in between that Chronicles 6:34, where Solomon's praying, and Chronicles 7, where God said, okay, I'm going to answer you. You know what they did? they sacrificed. They sacrificed a bunch. I don't think there's been that much sacrifice since either. I mean, they sacrificed and they sacrificed and they sacrificed to God. Then God answered their prayer. Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did to seek the Lord was proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. And I like verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Everybody came out. Everybody wasn't going, well, this is what we need to do. Everybody was going, God, what do we need to do? And I believe with all my heart it's because Jehoshaphat had a revival. That everybody was seeking God at that time. Verse 20. Did I get there? No, I'm sorry. Verse 15. Let's go to 13. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I wish that we could really get a hold of that. I really wish that we could give something to God and take our hands off of it and let Him do the work. I really wish we could do that. Verse 16 says, "Go tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I'm so glad I didn't have to do anything for salvation, or I probably wouldn't be saved. I'm so thankful that God did it. I'm so thankful that Jesus took all the sins away from me. I'm so thankful that He died on the cross for my sake. I wish He didn't have to do it. I wish it had been a different way, but I'm so glad He did. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I thank God for my salvation. And I think we do it just saying that sometimes. But, you know, there's a lot of people that I used to run around with that are still in that mess. And it's so sad that they're living a lie. They're dead already. They're dead in their sins. And God has such a great life for them. And it makes me wonder when I say that and think about that, it makes me want to pray for them even more and say, Lord, please save them. Get them out of that mess. It says, the battle's not yours. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Can I tell you something? When God saved me, my head was down. My eyes were watering. My heart was broken. And He fixed it. I'm so glad that He did. I wish that He would do it to the whole world. You know, He took the sins of the whole world away. All the whole world has to do is come to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. Please save me. Yeah, I'm so glad that for His long suffering, because after 40 years of living the way I lived, and I cried out of that pit, that He heard me. And I didn't have to do anything but cry out. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and he worshiped God, because see, God answered his prayer. It just wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was worried about the whole nation of Israel. He was worried about his family also, but he was worried more about Israel. And he was so humbled that God answered his prayer. Verse 20, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know, that's so true for today. If you really believe, if you really seek God, you know, Hebrews 11:6 says you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder that to them that diligently seek him. Are you being rewarded? You may believe that he is, but you may not be diligently seeking him. It says that he is a rewarder that to them that diligently seek him. That's a promise. But I don't think we stand on it. Most Christians do not read the Bible. Isn't that crazy? I've run into so many people that say they're born-again Christians or saved, but they don't read the Bible. I had a guy at the village that was there for 3 years. He had never read the Bible through once. That just floored me. I couldn't believe it. I said, the way it came up, I was telling him a story that happened in the Old Testament. He said, I've never heard that story before. I said, have you read it? And he goes, no, I've never read it before. And I said, you've been here for 3 years and you've never read the Bible all the way through? And he said, no. No wonder you're struggling. Anyway. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers in the Lord and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I don't know how you react in your trials or your mountains or whatever, but when I'm going through something, singing praises unto God is not on first on my list. It should be. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. We just sang some songs all the day of thanksgiving to God. And Jehoshaphat sends people, he's got his army arrayed and he sends singers out to praise the name of the Lord. You know, I'm so glad that we have our own house, but it was nice being over at our in-laws for a little while. And to hear my mother-in-law sing all the time. Especially when she was in a lot of pain or something, she'd start singing and start praising God. You know, that's awesome. I wish she wasn't in pain, but it's so awesome that when she goes through things and when she's happy, she's praising God. She wasn't doing that because people were listening. She was doing that because God was listening, and that was what's in her heart. Look what happens when Jehoshaphat sends out the singers. Verse 22 is, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in an abundance both riches and the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves, off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. You know how all this happened? First of all, Jehoshaphat set his heart to God. Second of all, he put people out there to teach the people the Word of God. Revival came, and when something came against the nation of Israel, he stood on the promises of God. In verse 9, he says, hey, Saul, you promised Solomon when something happened to us, and we would come into this house, and we would pray, you would hear an answer. How many times have we came in here and sat at those tables and prayed for something and God answered the prayers? Isn't that awesome? You know, that's a promise of God. That's a promise of God. You know, that pastor that was talking about speaking, he said you should talk out loud to God. The Bible says that Abraham talked to God as face to face with a friend. He said the same thing to Moses, about Moses. Is God your friend? Because, see, if you had a friend who had a four-wheel drive pickup and needed to go get some hay, you would go and ask him for your truck. But if you didn't know anybody that had a four-wheel drive pickup, you would try to get it on your own. You know, the Bible says, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How many times do we maybe just think about something and not pray about it? We wish for something instead of just praying for God to do something and allow Him to work. You see, I know that we're supposed to be maturing in the Lord. But sometimes even the most simplest things we make so hard. That it's a simple thing to do something, but we've made it hard. Because we're trying to do it on our own. In our own strength, in our own might. And the Bible is very plain that it's not by our strength or our might, but by the Spirit. His Spirit. I wonder how many people that saw all that happen that was alive then would have had that same thought process over here in Jeremiah. Because see, there was another king that was king of Israel, and there was a prophet in the land who came to him and tried to warn him. But see, he wasn't trying to follow God. He wasn't trying to do what God wanted him to do. He was just doing what he wanted to do. And whenever he got some bad news, he got mad at the prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 36, we see Jeremiah trying to warn King Zedekiah. And just one second. In verse 20 of 2 Chronicles, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophet, so shall ye prosper. And Zedekiah didn't believe in the Lord his God. And even though he was established as king, it's very evident that he's fixing to lose his kingdom, as we all know that he did lose his kingdom. He didn't believe his prophets. He believed his prophets. He didn't believe God's prophet. And he didn't prosper. You know, there's so many times in our lives that if we would just really be in the Word of God and we would really be diligently seeking Him, that we would be rewarded. Did you know that if we really had faith as a grain of mustard seed, the mountains in our life would just disappear? The things that really bother us today, if we really put them, I heard Pastor Brother say this a lot, if something's really bothering you, stuff, write it down on a piece of paper, put it in the vanilla open envelope, put it in your desk, and next week or next month, pull it out and look at it. Because that problem's going to be gone, and there's something else going to be bothering you. So many little things bother us in our lives, and that shouldn't be so. We should not be moved. Because, see, there's a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. And even if we die, so what? We'll be with Him. You see, all of the promises are for us. Not just a few. Chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is telling Zedekiah, hey, this is fixing to come upon you. And Zedekiah doesn't believe him. Zedekiah just don't want to believe this guy because all the rest of these guys are telling him everything's great. And who don't want to hear that everything's great? You know, Paul would say, you know, I'm your enemy now because I tell you the truth. But I'm not your enemy because I'm telling you the truth. I'm your friend. All these other guys that are telling you a lie and trying to get you away from the Word of God, they're your enemy. But they're the ones you're going to follow. Chapter 38 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's put in a dungeon because he told them the truth. He's told them what God told him to tell them. And then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which is the king's house, verse 7, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast in the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men from thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So he went and got him, and then Zedekiah says, clean him up and bring him to me. In verse 14, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him, and the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask of thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? And he goes ahead and tells him everything's going to happen. He says, you need to submit. Now, if you go back to 2 Chronicles 7, God says, if you go against me, if you sin, and you do all these evil things, then I'm going to put you in captivity. And the reason they're being put in captivity is because of their sin. But if you humble yourself, if you will pray and ask me to forgive you, then I will hear you. I will hear your prayer and I will heal your land. Zedekiah didn't do any of this. It had been too long since Solomon was king. It had been too long since Jehoshaphat was king. They had done forgot all this stuff. You see, it got liberal and more liberal and more liberal and more liberal. And they got away from God. There was no Zedekiah, when he became king, he didn't set his face toward God like Jehoshaphat did. He didn't bring revival in the land like Jehoshaphat did. And when somebody came against him, he didn't fall on his face before God and said, help me. He just said, oh, it's all going to go away. Everything's going to be fine. And when the prophet came and talked to him about it, he didn't listen to the prophet. And this is what happened. In chapter 39, in verse 4, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. So the last thing Zedekiah gets to see before the king puts his eyes out and takes him into captivity is all his sons dying. And all the noblemen of Jerusalem dying. That's the last thing he got to see. You see, with God, all things work together for good. Without God, it's not very good. If Zedekiah would just listen to Jeremiah the prophet, him and his sons and the nobles would still be alive. They'd be slaves for Babylon, but they'd still be alive. Two different stories, two different kings, two different endings. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to turn out to be like Zedekiah. I was like Zedekiah for 40 years of my life. I don't want to be like that. I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I didn't want to have anything to do with his prophet. I want to tell you something. Going to those pastors' fellowships is awesome. I just got to hear two preachers, and it was just awesome. You know why? When you get around somebody who's been preaching for 30-something years, for 20-something years, you glean from them. I just sat over there and listened. It was awesome. I was very tired the next day. You know, the Bible says we need to listen to God's men. We need to listen to God's word. We need to stand on his promises. Did you know that you're looking at a child of a king? I'm a child of a king.
Yeah.
Do you know that somebody said some bad things about a prince over in Saudi Arabia and he lost his life? They cut off all of his fingers. And then they started cutting him up. And he was alive. You know what's sad? There was I told you all this before, but this is sad. It really gets me. When that Jordanian pilot was captured by ISIS, shot down and captured, they put him in a cage, and they sprayed fuel on him, and they lit him up, and he burned to death. Right then and there. And as horrible, as painful as that is, just to think about that, the second he died, he's burning in hell. For eternity. You know, we had a great chance to do something over in the Middle East when we went over there. And I think we did it a little bit. But wouldn't it be great if we went over there and spread the gospel? There was a sheep. Right before I left the job I left, my boss came up to me and says, "You want to go overseas?" And he said, "You got to go over for 2 years at a time." I said, "Sure." And he said, "There's a sheikh over there that wants to put a bowling alley in every school. From elementary on up." What if that sheikh would have said, I want to bring y'all in and I want you to preach the Word of God in every school. I wonder what God would have done over there. I wonder what God wants to do here. I wonder if we would just humble ourselves. If we would confess our sins. And then we would pray. I wonder what great things God would do in this country. You see, it's easy to point our fingers and say the liberals. It's easy to point our fingers and say all these aliens. I think there's something in the Bible where it says, I'll give your land to the aliens. If we would quit pointing our fingers and blaming everybody else and just start getting our lives right, how much God would do in our lives. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Just because he got right with God, and just because he humbled himself and asked God, and he fasted and prayed, God heard and answered his prayer. Because why? He was standing on a promise that God made. In fact, it's I've heard people say, you don't have to tell God his word. He already knows it. You know, when we pray, we go, oh, but you said that you would open the storehouses of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Well, sometimes his blessings are not financial. Some of the best blessings in the world I've ever gotten were spiritual. Spiritual blessings last for eternity. Financial blessings just last until you spend the money. Which ain't very long. If we want to be a Jehoshaphat, or do we want to be a Zedekiah? It's totally up to us. That's an individual thing. But just understand that if we don't do what God tells us to do, it's going to cost other people. You see, because Zedekiah didn't do what God told him to do, his sons died. Not only did his sons die, but all the noblemen of Jerusalem died. Not only that, but his eyes were put out. And all of Jerusalem went into captivity. All of Israel went into captivity. Jehoshaphat did what God wanted him to do. And the nation was blessed. Can you imagine? There was so much stuff there that they couldn't take it out in 3 days. And all they did was send singers out. I wonder if Zedekiah would have sent out some singers, what would happen? I don't think it would have turned out the same way. But if he'd have done what Jeremiah told him to do, it would have been totally different. There are many promises in this book. And if we stand on them, if we really believe in them, and we trust God, God cannot lie. He has to act. But when we don't do right, things will happen also. I want to be a Jehoshaphat. I don't want my name to be read someday and he said, and Tracy became a Christian at such and such and such a date and he did evil in the sight of God. I want him to say that, and Tracy became a Christian on April 9, 2006, and he's done great things for God. He did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord. Well, what do you want? Because I want whatever I'm going to do to prosper. I want to be blessed and highly favored of God. And if I do what God tells me to do, then I will be. And so will my family. If I don't do what God wants me to do, I will not be blessed, nor my family. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's stand on all the promises of God, not just one or two, but all of them. And let's humble ourselves. Let's confess our sins. We can't get anybody right unless we're right. And then we'll pray. And God will hear our prayer. Let's pray, Lord. I thank you so much for your promises, Lord. I thank you so much for hearing and answering prayer. And Lord, we do lift up situations in this church, Lord. People are hurt and sick. And Lord, at the hospital, Lord, we just pray that you bless them. Lord, that you put your hand of healing on them. And Lord, we thank you so much for your promises. Give us a great night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bye.
my people which are called by my name. Let's stand. We'll go ahead and dismiss our service tonight.
Ask Brother Dave Johnson if you just dismiss us in word of prayer.
Father, we just again thank you, Lord, for your blessing and mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your word and how we can bring truths out of it, Father, and show it and how your word shows us how to live, how to draw close to you, Lord, and to trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. Thank you for the whole day, Lord, and for the preaching.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Lord, I just pray that as we head home, Lord, that you would just watch over us and keep us safe on the road. Again, be with Arlene Wusha, Lord, and help her. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Bring us back again, Lord, next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.